Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 288, episode 2 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist,
production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023, 52323.
Yeah.
Which, of course, means
National Lucky, if you got a lucky penny, rub that shit. Rub that shit today.
Be kind to it.
Be kind.
There's
to
a lot of
penny.
Shit riding on the shoulders of lucky pennies.
Absolutely. Also, National Taffy Day. So it feels like I'm spending a day at my grandparents' house.
Woof. Yeah.
They're like, you got a lucky. Right. Do you have a lucky penny?
Okay. Hey, well, look now what you I have found that. Behind your ear.
A lucky penny.
A lucky
oh,
penny.
I remember that.
And literally, I found some taffy.
But that was in the couch cushion. It might be from 73, but it's still edible, I believe.
Oh, shit. Well, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O.B., Miles of Gray. Read the news. Yeah, Miles and Jack reading the news.
Ooh.
That is obla-di-obla-da, a.k.a. courtesy of Pat on the Discord.
Lada.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. the one of the saddest guys in town. The Lakers are looking like we're just crawling to a stop. Arsenal has fully just, we've succumbed to Man City, and I'm just me.
Oh, no.
I come
to
you.
Is a bad Arsenal weekend?
Oh, we've been falling apart, Jack. I've been not talking about
sorry,
it because
buddy.
I don't pay you to be my therapist. I pay a therapist to be my therapist, and they're like, do you want to talk about something else except for sports? I'm like, it's taking up a lot of my mind right now. So I want to get that out of the way. I want to make peace with that.
Oh, man. Yeah. Have you seen the show Ted Lasso?
Yeah. And you know what? They brought that up.
That's
and
got
I was
some
like,
cool stuff
I'm like,
to
you
say
bring
about
up Ted Lasso.
Sports
one.
And psychology, Miles.
Fuck, no, it doesn't.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by a brilliant actor, comedian, writer, podcast host
yeah.
who you know from countless podcasts and her show, TVISA with Ashley Ray, which makes all the year endless. Please welcome the brilliantly talented Ashley Ray!
Ashley! Hey, it's your girl, Ashley Ray.
How are you, Ashley?
I'm so good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love the Ted Lasso hate from the beginning
because oh, yeah.
that
Fuck.
Truly was my overrated.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even joking. I had it written.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Ted Lasso?
It says so much about masculinity
you're unhappy.
And
have
sports.
You seen Ted Lasso?
Like, have you tried it?
Have you tried
I just
Ted
got,
Lasso?
I just got an AFC Richmond jersey. I'm like, that's going to look pretty stupid in a couple years. I'm going to just tell you that right now. But hey, go ahead. Do you.
So cool.
Doeth thou. But yeah. What's, I mean, You're on strike like the rest of the writers?
Yes, yeah. I'm on strike. So I've been catching up on a lot of TV. It's just finally time to sit down, watch 10 seasons of Vanderpump Rules. I've watched all of like the new Selling Sunset in a day. You know, it's time to just really sit down and connect with all the TV that I'm not writing or, you know, because, it's so much fun being on strike. You know, you go to the picket line, you eat some free pizza that Jerry Seinfeld brought you.
Right.
It's great.
It's fun to see all the celebrities that pull up in solidarity. Like I saw Flavor Flav came up.
He brought a bunch of burgers.
Brought a bunch of burgers. And I'm like, noted.
Okay. Yeah. Larry David sent a coffee truck. The Daniels, they brought a bunch of Arby's to Netflix one day. So
Arby's. I love those too. Yeah. That's like kind of a divisive one.
Does Arby's travel?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
But they're up the street from Arby's, right?
It was very close, but like they got, and they, to their credit, they stole a tray from the Arby's and just like covered it in like curly fries and mozzarella sticks.
Oh,
but I think they did a disservice going with like a lot of the fried stuff.
Yeah.
Because that just like, you know, by the time you make it one loop around the picket line, it's cold.
Yeah.
It's no good.
Yeah. Arby's got the meats. You can have a turkey sandwich from there too. Hoagies and grinders.
I wouldn't have minded a little roast beef.
Hey, come on. Meat Mountain. Yeah. Remember when they used to do that? When they put all of them on one sandwich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now they're doing like sliders or something. Anyway.
They got like a slider thing. They're trying to really redo things.
Yeah, because Arby's, there's like the one Arby's of note in LA is that one on Sunset, like by Netflix. So I can. All right.
It looks like it could be the original Arby's. Like the sign that's outside of it looks like it's in the background of the Taxi Driver movie poster.
Yeah.
Right.
Like it looks like the one at the original McDonald's. That's like, this is the first one, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You are one of our foremost TV thinkers, writers.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's a time of prestige television. So I'm glad to hear that you're, you know, getting caught up on Vanderpump and the other things, the other prestige franchises.
Oh, yeah. I've watched a solid maybe 2 to 3 seasons of Bar Rescue.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Oh, is that, love it.
That, I mean, Ashley, I feel like we have very similar, like, you know, tastes in TV. You also love the 90 Day Trash-averse and, you know,
you've helped
guest co-host 420 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
Are you like me where you like that genre of reality show, which is expert yells at stupid people like Tabitha Salon Takeover?
Yeah, Tabitha Salon Takeover, Bar Rescue, like on the
Kitchen
evil
nightmares.
End of the spectrum, like My 600-Pound Life and like Hoarders.
Oh, are they
Shark
wait,
Tank? Does Shark Tank count as that or no?
When it's good, when someone
it
has
can,
a bad
yeah. yeah, when it's good. But sometimes the people on Shark Tank, it's like, okay, you're smart. This is boring.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I want someone who's just like, they're yelling and they're like, you shouldn't store cat piss in your fridge. And that's.
Well, why not? Like, well, why not, Mark?
You know, why not? Why can't I do that? What's the issue?
Sounds like an issue with you. That's my favorite part of Shark Tank is when a pitch goes south and then the person gets salty with the sharks and you're like, oh, okay, go ahead, blow it up.
Now it's good.
Go ahead, blow it up.
Mavericks
I'll watch.
Suck.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yo, man, you're ruining Luca's career, bro. You're ruining Luca's career. Anyway, that's fine. I mean, I can see that. Sure, you don't want to buy my cat piss containers, but at least I know what to do with Luca.
Refrigerated cat piss containers.
Refrigerated cat piss containers.
You never know when you're going to want those refrigerated.
Well, I'm sorry, man. Yeah. You started your pitch saying, what doesn't Yeti make that everyone's asking for? Something that keeps your cat piss cold.
Something that keeps your cat piss cold.
Explicitly, specifically for cat
But
piss.
Yeah, that's the brand of reality TV I love. Yeah. I've been diving back into all the trash. Did all of I Am Jazz 7 seasons. Watched it in 3 days. It's a problem.
What's I Am Jazz?
It's this TLC reality show. It's about intramural jazz done by this girl, Jazz Jennings, who was like the youngest first trans woman to like be like on TV.
She did
2020 when she was like 6 years old. And then her parents were like, oh, we can make money off of this for a long time.
Oh.
And they put her on a reality show that has gone on from basically when she was like 12 to now 22 and in college. And most of the show, you're just like, please let this girl just live a normal life and get her off of TV. Please just like let her leave her alone.
Right, and then
you see a mom who's just like, no.
No.
And it's
I prefer not to, actually.
Yeah. Just her mom being like, yeah, I see what you're saying about maybe how she could use some privacy, but have you ever considered that I like being on television?
Right.
And it's great. It's so good.
Right.
That sounds amazing. All right. Well, Ashley, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Yeah. First, a couple of things we're talking about later in the episode. We're going to check back in with Harlan Crow. The Atlantic hit us with another puff piece from our boy Graham Wood. Graham Wood.
Knock on wood, Graham.
Yeah. He's still a fan.
Dude,
you won't believe it. So he finally got the invite that he's been dying for.
Harlan Crow is so fucking sad to me.
Yeah.
And he's like a lifelong Harlan Crow simp. He's like, I've peered through the gates of his house and wondered what it would be like to be inside there. And so, therefore, the Atlantic has made this my beat. Strangest person to, like, the person with the strangest connection to the story possible. I'm now the authority on that. We'll talk about that weird story. We'll talk about David Zaslav, Warner Brother Discovery CEO, the Zaz.
The Zaz.
Pulled up to BU, his alma mater, to deliver a commencement speech. And it was unlike, presumably, what he was expecting.
Different than all hands meeting at Warner Discovery. Yeah.
They handed him his ass.
Yes, exactly what you are expecting, hearing that sentence, but unlike what the Zaz was expecting. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Adidas's plan to sell off the remaining Yeezy gear with like some proceeds going to charity, but it's basically like, man, we're upside down on this shit. We
gotta need somebody to bail us up.
And then Disney Plus is getting rid of a whole bunch of content from they're doing the
whole bunch of TV.
They're doing the we're writing it down as a loss, and therefore you're never allowed to see it again thing.
Jesus.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Ashley, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
This week in my search history, deep dives into California and New Jersey child support laws. Because on the latest season of Selling Sunset, one of the new people is Nick Cannon's baby mama.
Wow. Which,
I had no idea Nick Cannon's reach would hit the Selling Sunset universe. I think by the year 2028, every TV show will feature one of Nick Cannon's baby mamas. And this is the first. And
Bree is one of Nick
Cannon's. Bree is Nick Cannon's baby mama. Okay. And she is 6 weeks post baby. And all of these women in the Oppenheimer group are like, how can you be with him? Like, is he a good dad? And she's like, that's my man. That's my family. I stand by him. We're in an open relationship, but he's my man. And then she finds out 2 days later he had a baby that she just did not even know was coming. She's like, wait, there's another baby. No idea. And she's talking to all the other women, and she's like, well, in California, if a man has more than 10 children, they can just be like, he can't afford any more child support. So, like, Nick Cannon doesn't have to pay anymore because he had so many kids. But this kid is baby number 8, so makes it in the window. But then a bunch of people were like, she's wrong. That's not how California child support laws work. So I had to Google it for myself to really get to the bottom of this thing. And it turns out that's not true. At 10 kids in California, they can like relook at your financial status and be like, hey, let's like across the board bring the amount down for all your 20 children. But there's never like a limit pass. Where it's like, where it's like, you got too many kids. Right, like anybody after 12, we're sorry.
Yeah. That interpretation of the law seems like it was written by Nick Cannon.
100%.
Yeah, like, I think 100%
the
Nick
law
Cannon
offices
has like,
of Cannon and Cannon.
He has like a copy and pasted text he sends to these women that's but just so you know, in California.
He's like, let me put you on the phone with my lawyer, which is me who I'm going to gaslight you with a bunch of legalese right now.
Speaking in a silly voice, but let me tell you, girl. And literally, by the time they finish filming the season, apparently, he already has 3 other kids after Bree's kid. It's like within 5 months. It is wild.
Wow. Bree. Yeah. Okay. I'm like reading things like she found about child 9, like on the set.
On the set. Like she's just hanging out trying to sell a house, opens her phone and is like, what?
Whoops.
Oh. Yeah.
And the other girls are not nice about it.
No, I can't. I mean.
Yeah. Just so you know, they are not supportive.
No, I've seen. Yeah. Because they they move in a certain way. Like I remember like Amanda when she was struggling, and I was like, are y'all giving like the brown woman some problems here selling Sunset? Because that's what it looks like to me.
That's what it is. And we have some new big bads this season. So my search history has just been dedicated to understanding all things child support and real estate law in California.
Shit. I just love that he's treating like paternity like a Subway punch card. And he's like, I got to 10, right. man. There's no such thing as child support at this
After
point.
10, yeah. you're good.
Yeah,
you're
After good, 10, bro. You're good. He also did a big interview where he said LA his Times. Favorite, like he was like, my favorite child is Onyx. And he was like, 3 days a week, I make sure to be with Onyx, which is the child born right after Bree's kid.
Oh,
and their
no.
child is called Legendary Love.
Yes, Legendary Love, who does not make his favorite. Not That's Onyx is up. The only one he's like, I go to bat for her.
He's like, because I fucked with the rap group Onyx back in the day. Named you after that.
Next Slam! One, House of Pain. And, he also was just the subject of an LA Times article that was like, everybody like pigeonholes him as guy with lots of kids. But what you don't know is... he's like clearing $50 million a year, which sounds like it's going to sounds like he had the wrong interpretation of the child support law when he did that story. Because
because it's like you don't want people to know how much money you're making.
Yeah.
I think like, Nick, this is going to be a tax issue in the future. Yeah. Like he's not making good choices here.
Right. Unfortunately, I don't care how many hair wraps you're wearing.
He might want to Google some California child support laws because he clearly doesn't know what he's working with.
He's in like, my honor, I will represent myself today. And I do believe section 220 subcode 3, you have 10 shorties.
Did you say subcold?
I don't know. Look, my honor, it's been a long day. I have 12 kids.
Damn right I did.
I have 12 kids. I have been in the court of Wildin' Out all day.
So tired. Do you have any idea how many colds I've had? I've had all the colds, every flu, every variant of flu currently traveling through the public school system in California. What is something that you think is overrated?
I truly had Ted Lasso written on my list. I do still watch it in this third season. The finale is in 2 weeks. This last episode, I thought, was one of the corniest things I've ever seen on TV. And then I get on Twitter and everyone is like, I cried for 30 hours after that episode of Ted Lasso. That was, that was the most beautiful thing when they had the mean guy play violin while a woman did a monologue and you were like, oh my gosh, humanity is beautiful. I was just like sitting there like, am I having a stroke? Like, have I become the world's meanest hater that I don't understand what people are saying in this?
What? Right. What is it? I know I always joke a lot. I say this as a joke a lot. I'm like, but what is it about? Because I get, everybody loves it. I watch it, and for whatever reason, it rubs me the wrong way. For some reason, I went into it being like, yeah, fuck with soccer. Yeah, go ahead. And then I was like, I don't know, man. I think in my mind, I was like, I'm too far gone for this show, is how I sort of described it. Like, I'm damaged goods, and I can't appreciate it.
It's interesting, because the first season is incredible. Like, I will give the first season all that credit. If you're going to watch it, just watch the first season. It started as this sharp 30-minute sitcom that was, you know, about like enemies becoming friends and your pretty standard tropes, but in an interesting way with soccer. And then somewhere along the way, they were like, how about instead of 30-minute episodes, we make the episodes an hour. And instead of a funny sitcom, we turn it into like a drama rom-com. And actually, it can just be like 10 different genres all shoved together. So sometimes it's like a sports show, and sometimes it's a rom-com, and sometimes it's like a feminist good time. And I don't think anyone knows what they're doing. And they just kind of gave in to all the fan service of like, oh, fans want Roy Kent to be like nice and funny, so let's make him nice and funny now. Oh, they don't want Nate to be evil, so let's like keep Nate not too evil and just make him nice again for no real reason. And it just really is one of those shows. I don't think we've seen a show like this in modern times that has like lost its way so thoroughly because it gave in to like all of the awards and fan service and just was like, let's go. Yeah. Like there's no reason for these episodes to be an hour long. Like you watch it and you're just like, why am I still, how is it still going?
Right. You're looking at your watch. Like, how
Okay. We covered how Jason Sudeikis recently revealed that like Ted Lasso originally was like mean, like every football coach in the world actually is, and then like full of toxic masculinity, and then he like when Trump got elected, he had the insight that like maybe people just need a nice person. And then it sounds like they have systematically had that same insight about every single character and every like conflict and negative emotion that is like, what if everyone was just happy and like, they revealed their trauma immediately and then had it smoothed out by just good old fashioned American optimism? What about that?
There's no conflict. There's no... Anytime they try to create conflict, you know that it's not real. There's a character who comes out of the closet this season, and one of his friends kind of acts like, oh, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Don't touch me. And you're like, oh, no, is he homophobic? Is this going to be an actual issue? But almost, I was immediately like, no, his problem is that he can't believe the guy lied to him, but he's totally supportive.
Yes.
And by the end of the episode, he's showing up to his door with flowers like, it's not that you're gay. It's just that you didn't tell me for 5 years. Right. And it's like...
And I shouldn't have centered myself in your process of coming.
Yeah,
that was process, wrong.
And it's like, great. I'm glad we spent, you know, four episodes on this just so we can end on them playing video games together and being buddies again. Okay, great.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah, because I remember initially when that character came out, it was like a promo for NBC Sports. And he was like a hard ass football coach trying to deal with this club, I think.
Oh, the Ted Lasso character. When he became
a commercial.
Yeah, it was like an extended mid-roll, basically, YouTube, viral clip. And then they kind of quickly faded off. But
they figured it out. And I think you can just tell Jason Sudeikis is tired of playing this character. I think he doesn't really understand why this is the show that he's doing that, like, blew up like this.
Right.
Like, you watch now and you just kind of, it's like, he has just, like, this sense of, like, why do people like this?
Yeah.
I feel like he's baffled.
I think they're going to get it right with the next prestige TV show adapted from a TV commercial character. Jake from State Farm is actually going to be just like a fixer in Washington, sort of scandal, but without any of the conflict or pathos. And Jake from State Farm just like fixes it easily.
Apple TV is working on this as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
Like they have some scab writers who are getting it down.
Oh, yeah.
Fully written by AI. What is something that you think is underrated?
A very TV-centric list, as you know, as the host of TV. I say underrated, I'm going with Mrs. Davis on Peacock. It's an amazing show that no one is talking about because Peacock doesn't promote their TV shows.
Right.
The only one they want people to know about is Bupkis with Pete Davidson, but they have this other show, Mrs. Davis, that is revolutionary. It is the best show I've watched this year, and no one is talking about it.
Whoa,
what's it about?
After being ousted from her convent, Sister Simone vows to destroy the one responsible, powerful artificial intelligence known as Mrs. Davis. Wait, what?
Exactly. It is about a nun who is trying to destroy this massive AI system that's taken over the world. Basically, it's like, you know, you put a little AirPod in your ear and it scans your brain and knows everything you want or need. It can like help you achieve. So everyone in the world is obsessed with this AI product. And this one nun blames it for killing her father and is out for revenge. And that
basically
the high level story. It's Damon Lindelof. Damon Lindelof.
Yeah.
Stupid name.
Have to pronounce it correctly.
But with this in Watchmen, I am like, he's my favorite.
He's
killing it. All the performances are so good. Betty Gilpin is the lead. The guy from Greek Hive. If you're out there, Evan from Greek is the main guy in it. It's so incredible. It's just... That only scratches the surface of what the show is about, but it is probably the smartest written thing I've seen on TV this year. It is one of those shows that makes you go, oh, yeah, human people need to write television. This is why it's so incredible and smart.
Right.
It's so good. And I wish that I wish Peacock would do as much advertising for their shows as I do. Like, I promote Peacock shows more than their own PR department. And so, Mrs. Davis, please.
Yeah, I can't figure out why the streaming economy doesn't work where you just like make these really expensive prestige shows and then just like dump them in the dark.
Yeah, in the dark and you don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're just like, oh, but Pete Davidson's bupkis will put up 10 million billboards about it.
Right. I blame the writers personally. I think it's they're just too selfish.
Or could you imagine it's at the work of an algorithm and the Peacock marketing algorithm's like, I don't know, do we need to tell them about AI, like someone destroying me? No. It's just,
Let's not promote that. Let's really focus on Bupkis and the wrestling that Peacock has for some reason.
Right. It's okay. Good. It's true. Like the marketing really is not great. Like we had Jason Walliner on when Paul T. Goodman came out, and like a lot of our listeners are like, what's this show? And they're like, I have Peacock
and haven't heard about it. Like, I check Peacock every day and it won't tell me about like new seasons of shows I have watched on Peacock.
Right.
Like, I watched all of the first season of Killing It and I know it got a second season that I think comes out soon.
Right.
And I like Peacock's not like, hey, that show you watched is coming back.
You want that? Yeah. It's like, you want more of that? I guess. If you want, it's there. Just check it out.
Like, and don't be so yeah, I gotta scream about Mrs. Davis, kill AI, and she's a hot nun. There you go.
Man. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
And we're back. And Harlan Crow is just a regular old guy, and everybody needs to cool it.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you have to say anything more than that?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't familiar with Harlan Crow before all of this controversy, so I was shocked that he apparently had a stan in this, like, Graham Wood guy who was just like, oh, I've been into this dude, and he's just a regular dude. You know, like all of our grandpas, he's like funding a Supreme Court judge, you know, just a regular old dude.
And
just
who knows
like
what all else? Of them. This is shit he's been caught for. You know what I mean?
How else would you unburden yourself with generations of inherited wealth? Was
he said,
one of the things that this
writer
he's not
buying,
wrote.
He's not buying Nazi crap. He's unburdening himself
he's
with this wealth by buying
you know.
Historical
relics. That's all it is.
And if you're gonna buy historical relics, why would it be of, say, the country you live in maybe something related? Why wouldn't it be Nazis?
Yeah, it's gotta be. It's gotta be cool, man. Here's the thing you gotta understand about white people.
There's so much history there.
The article goes in on, you're like, huh?
Yeah, but so the first, like, as people were, you know, as the ProPublica series was being published, The Atlantic came out with this article that made headlines because the author was like, anyone who calls him a Nazi for collecting Nazi paraphernalia is an idiot. And I think we all know that, right?
Like, the last line
smart
was,
people can all agree.
His last line of, like, the article was something to the effect of, like, Harlan Crowe's friends know that he's not a Nazi.
Right.
And it's like, but, and those that don't, of course they jump to that because they're not smart like his friends. And you're like,
oh.
Right.
What?
Because America is a meritocracy and we can all just agree on that and move on. But as we talked about the last time we covered this, the guy Graham Wood is a, like, as he mentioned in the first article, like, grew up in the same town as Harlan Crowe in, like, Dallas, and would, like, run past his compound and, like, peer through the gates and, like, wonder what was so he is like a lifelong fan of this billionaire,
or
and,
at least,
like,
his property.
Yeah, his property, his mystique.
Yeah,
you know.
So he's always wanted to just get in there. He's been looking for this opportunity to,
you know, we all peek over the fence of a villain's mansion and go, maybe me someday.
I wish I could hang out in there. And enjoy some canapes. Yeah.
Let me tell you, favorite pastime of black and brown people in the U.S. peering over somebody's fence that you don't live there.
It
always
know.
Ends properly, and to always the point where I've never done that shit in my life. But anyway. This piece, though, the first piece got Harlan Crowe's attention. And he was like, oh, shit, this guy's coming up.
I have
up,
a fan.
Standing up for me. I fuck with this Graham
he
Wood
wants
guy.
To see my Nazi memorabilia? Yeah. Like, totally, come on over.
So, guess who got a personal invitation to Harlan Crowe's fucking sculpture garden? None other than Graham Wood. And apparently up top, he's like, look, man, I'm not going to talk about this Clarence Thomas shit. He's like, oh, yeah, for sure. Obviously, my guy, we would never, that's not even important to me. What I'm trying to do is humanize you. And this whole thing, it's about as predictably like a puff piece as you can imagine. Like, it's filled with some really dumb equivocations. There's one part where Harlan Crowe's like, I wouldn't be mad if, like, let's say George Soros was friends with, like, the head of the World Bank. And you're like, oh, y'all, you really screamed that dog whistle into the mic. Okay. And let's not pretend like a Supreme Court justice is some kind of rabid capitalist business person. But I guess maybe that's what is being revealed, is that these people are not really here to adjudicate fairly, that they're ideological pieces that can be manipulated by people like Harlan Crowe. But again, I think overall this piece is just a really, really cool moment where this journalist completely misses the point in order to, like, curry favor with a billionaire that he, like, admires, and tries to pretend as if his ties to Clarence Thomas aren't deeply problematic. He's like, of course, you should disclose that stuff. Obviously, I'm saying that. He's like, what was the fucking problem if he bought his mom's house and she lives there rent-free? Or paying his nephew's tuition?
Yeah, Harlan's just a good dude. He's always just helping people who happen to be on the Supreme Court. Okay?
Yeah.
Always. Like,
he knows where to put his money. The title of the piece is called The Collector.
Right.
Because you're like, yeah. Wow, great. I love that.
They just wave off the collecting Nazi memorabilia so easily. Like, just, it's not like collecting lucky pennies, okay? Like, in Germany, people aren't allowed to collect Nazi memorabilia. I studied German history and I have no interest in collecting, like, Nazi memorabilia. Like, what?
It's just so fascinating that some of the three leaders during World War II were all artists. I just think there's a fun story there. That's what he says about buying Hitler's painting.
That's just a fun story.
He said there's a fun story there. Like, okay.
What's the fun?
I mean,
this is where I'm like, dig in. Let's ask some more questions.
I think at best, right, he's so disconnected from what it means to collect Nazi shit that he really doesn't see an issue. Because, like, oh, like, I'm not affected by white supremacy or hate, like, in ways like that. Plus, my money insulates me from that kind of reality. So I truly look at it as buying, like, old shit. Not even that I don't, like, I like it. I'm just like, I can afford it.
It's a fun story.
Like, I don't know. I don't know. Hitler wasn't that scary. Even when I think of myself, I probably would have been fine during the Third Reich. So.
Yeah. So, you know, what are we afraid of here?
Yeah. What's the issue?
But yeah, like there's another part though too where like Graham Wood really wants to underline Crow's like never Trump like bona fides, where he's like, man, like he hates Trump though. Like he hates him. So like, huh? Like it's just kind of like out of nowhere just saying that. Like, so that's gotta count for something. It's like, but at the end of the day, he is so invested in the conservative like legal movement that like what I don't understand why you think that one is different from the other. Because they're both like trains that are moving in the exact same direction.
Yeah. One is impolite and draws attention to itself, which is against the rules, especially for people who are part of, you know, the tradition of collecting and protecting generational wealth.
Yeah.
You know, so the Trump is bad for those people.
There was another good quote that was saying how Harlan Crow, like, actually, he doesn't feel powerful at all. He doesn't get why he's like, I'm actually not that powerful.
I'm a little
like,
baby.
Yeah. He's like, I'm little and weak. He's like, that's Joe. He's like, they even like in the thing that they're like, saying, even President Biden has said, he's like, how? He's like, you think you're going to be calling the shots? He's like, I take more orders now as president than I ever thought I would. As like a way to be like,
yeah.
Yeah. Cause you don't know where you are, Holmes. That's why. Yeah.
Hey, go because over you're there, part of a Democratic there. Party that is fucking tied irrevocably to massive billionaires like this asshole.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it just like, it's fun to like paint it as like, he doesn't even think he himself thinks he's weak. So it's okay. Like,
yeah, it's totally fine if I'm not actually, because I don't think I have the power. Like, sometimes I call Clarence Thomas and he doesn't even call me back until like 15 minutes later. Yeah. I'm very, very weak. Okay?
Those 15 minutes, they feel like an hour. I got to tell you, man.
And I've told my woke granddaughter who just got back from liberal arts college, I've been ghosted too, okay? By Clarence. It's tough out here.
It's hard.
For a Billy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, it's more predictable, like nonsense. I don't know why they're all in on this like campaign to like try and defend Harlan Crow, or like what the editors at the Atlantic are like, oh, you got another Harlan Crow piece? Yeah, load it up in the hop. But again, at the end
of
the day,
let's go.
It's truly to be
that's
like
what the kids say, right? Let's go.
Let's go.
Fucking go.
The Atlantic offices.
He's like, yo, let's Graham.
Go. Like, yeah,
spraying
Crow.
LaCroix all over
this
each
one.
Other.
It's different. Yeah. My God, bro, this one's busting. You didn't tell me about this. I actually believe he's a normal guy. But yeah, I mean, I think it just shows legacy media is still there. They're still entrenched the billionaire culture. Yeah. So they're not about to point fingers and shit.
No.
Yeah. This guy, by the way, graduated from Harvard and currently is also a lecturer in political science at Yale University. So
he's really in touch with the people.
The mainstream media, Ivy League, like that whole insular circle of people just cranking each other off and being like, we all get it, right? Like we can't tell the truth here, right? We know that there's an order to things, if you know what I'm saying. And it like ultimately comes down to fucking eugenics and being fascists, like being wealth fascists, essentially.
I wonder if they like, I can imagine they listen to Run the World by Beyonce. And they go, like, who run the world? They're like, us.
Like,
hey, we love this one.
Yeah. Harlan Crow is definitely like on his little stationary bike pumping that in his ears. Absolutely.
Like a headband. Or he's on one of those exercise bikes that has the arm
movement with the little
too.
Arms.
Yeah.
He's got the old timey like workout equipment from Nazi Germany. That's like a jiggle belt that like jiggles your belly until it's supposed to just like make the belt like, fat melt off.
He's like, this is my gold kettlebell. It's from stolen teeth from, never mind. Don't worry about it. Anyway, it weighs a ton though.
All right. From one billionaire to David Zaslav's probably not a billionaire yet. And that's so
we, I think we can feel
on his way. Probably.
Yeah. He might be on his way, which is why we're going to give him the dignity of talking about him. He delivered a commencement speech at his alma mater, BU. He is the Warner Brothers Discovery CEO who has done a lot of kind of fucked up shit and like started the trend of just cutting all sorts of like canceling a movie that had already been completed, canceling a bunch of shows that existed.
The whole family department at HBO Max.
getting rid of the animation department. Yeah. He came up with the Max idea of joining Discovery Plus and HBO Max to just be Max.
Max.
Which is one of the worst branding choices in maybe the history of advertising.
Oh, man. Yeah. But the ads, they're really winning me over. Those ads are all over NBA playoff basketball.
My favorite part is when they're like, all the TV you love, and it's like The Wire, The Sopranos, Succession, and then Friends. They'll just throw in 90 Day Fiancé.
And House Hunters International. You're like, yeah. Okay.
And I'm like, you know what? They're not wrong, though.
I'm like, facts. I know all of those back to front. So.
Yeah.
But so he didn't get very far into his speech. And in fact, people started booing even during his introduction.
Oh, yeah.
And there was just a constant ebb and flow of heckling throughout his 20 minutes. So yeah. Let's see what happens
when they brought this man coming to the stage right now. And the boos ring out.
Mr. President, I have the honor to present David Zaslav for Boston University's honorary degree.
Is he?
Here we go. Look at him.
Wow.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah. And the claps are just the people on stage.
Oh, yeah. Understand.
Close to the microphone, just being like,
it's really going across the quad, man. You can hear that. Yeah, he was not. I love seeing that when like these fucking out of touch wealthy people think they're about to be fucking welcomed by a chorus of cheers, and it's always like, fuck you, and they're like,
boo, and then the professors in the background trying not to laugh.
Yeah,
those were my favorite.
Yeah,
people.
Just looking at their knees with like a smile on their face.
Yeah, just a smile.
like when Fergie sang the national anthem at that one All-Star game.
Yeah. Everyone's like,
say, can you see?
Like, and people were like, everyone's just like, just don't react. Don't react.
I'm gonna bite my nails. Yeah.
But yeah, people screamed, pay your writers, we don't want you here, and more to the point, shut up, Zaslav.
that's a good chant. That's not even, just shut up.
Zaslav. While the strike is bigger than one studio, it's pretty easy to see why he is kind of being portrayed as the mascot for the bad guys here, not least of which because his compensation last year was nearly $250 million. And they are treating writers and creatives like shit, just generally across the board.
Well, yeah. And also, like, when you think of how rigid all the streamers are being about royalties, too, like, you look at him and what he's presiding over, you're like, yeah, man, there's a lot of shit. A lot of roads are leading to you or, you know, the networks like yours.
Well, and a big part of him, like, taking these shows down is that, you know, it is a tax write-off or whatever, but it also stops them from paying residuals to writers and the actors, which is residuals on TV. Oh, you'd make so much money. Broadcast, residuals for streaming, you may be lucky if you get, like, a 50-cent check.
Right.
So it's already a thing where it's, like, the writers aren't making much money off of this. They're going to fight to get more money on residuals. And his idea is just, well, if we just take the shows off, then you'll never get the residuals. And other networks are clearly following suit. So it's just, like, yeah, Zaslav, like, fuck you.
Right.
Fuck you for giving Hollywood this idea, because now every platform is doing it.
Yeah. He later issued a statement after his commencement speech saying that he is immensely supportive of writers. But there's also a recent interview in which he said that the thing that will end the strike is not a fair deal for writers, but rather a love of working.
Get fucked.
They just need to.
Come you back know to us, the right? Job. We just love it so much that, like, even if I'm getting paid unfairly, I just got to do it. I just love it so much.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, for the people that, like, are the business owners, they are still so stuck in this mindset where they think, yeah, like, everyone loves to toil. I don't understand. Like, I'm making money, they make a pittance that they can live off of and have their little bites of bread or whatever poor people eat. And it all starts working. I love that he thinks that the love of working is going to motivate people. Because guess what? If you can't support yourself, it means fuck all to work. Like, but David, please, let's just check in one more time with the students of Boston University. Just so we can hear them.
The look on his face, by the way, like, his mouth just turned into like a, like, completely horizontal line across when they started booing. He was just
Like, and he's also wearing ridiculous sunglasses. Like, he doesn't want anyone to see that he's crying.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're like polarized and mirrored. It looks like he got off like a fishing boat off the coast of Florida or something.
Yeah.
Like the way that he's got these lenses. Anyway, but let's hear he's serving
Hollywood, but he's actually serving, like fishing charter, guy who just chartered a fishing boat.
You're serving Clearwater, Florida, bro.
Yeah.
and you're at a boat party where Connor Cruz, Tom Cruise's son, is DJing. That's what you're saying.
Well, also DJ, what's his name? The Goldman Sachs CEO.
Oh, yeah.
Some people will be looking for a fight.
Like the writers, or the writers looking for a fight.
And he gave thumbs up, like, I get you. Yeah,
I get it. I suck.
But don't be the one they find it with.
Terrible.
Focus on people's good qualities. Jack was right. Okay.
Jack
in my career, I've seen so many talented people lose opportunities or jobs because they couldn't get along with others.
I was going to be like, because they ask for too much in negotiations.
They ask for too much because people weren't ready for their ideas. And it's like, no, they were just very talented and smart, but they couldn't get along with me, an asshole.
Yeah, you should have seen when they said, I was racist. You see, you're being difficult. Now I'm not going to work with
people will be looking for a fight, but don't give it to them. Like, that's how he views conflict, is like something to be avoided. And just like, he's basically telling writers not to strike in his speech.
Or just what your mindset needs to be a fucking like heinous multi-gazillionaire, is to be like, dude, there will be haters,
right?
Just know that, but don't give them a reason to hate, because you will become powerful enough where you can completely fuck the haters over, just so you know. Let's see what
the idea of like somebody who just got this lucky giving a speech telling people like how to do it, and his speech is like, you just gotta not push back when people are mean to you.
Just don't,
take,
you know,
it, baby.
Just take it, and like, just that's fine. And just don't be the person they're looking for a fight for, sir. Like, you're the one.
You are it.
How's
that working?
Choose the people that you work with.
Oh,
figure out what you like about a person. There's always something. And do what it takes to navigate their challenges. We all have them. The reality is, most of us don't pay enough attention to our weaknesses.
Okay, wow. You're saying a lot already. Okay, cool, man.
Okay, buddy.
Dave. Big D.
Yeah.
Dave.
There's also that Vanity Fair profile I don't think we've covered yet, but there's like a Vanity Fair profile where they're like, The subhead is
just a regular guy.
After 15 years running Discovery, the media mogul for Main Street opens up about his upcoming battle with Disney and Netflix. He's a reflection of his audience, says Nancy Pelosi. He's a regular guy.
The arbiter
says
of the
Nancy
norm.
Pelosi.
The most normal guy.
Just the most Nancy Pelosi person. Knows normal guys.
Yeah.
She knows
salt
normal
of
guys.
The earth.
And I think my favorite part of that whole thing is there's like a story of someone on a yacht.
Story.
Yeah, the Fleabag story, where like David is on a yacht with all his friends and they put on one of his own properties. I think it's like Fleabag.
Yeah,
I've been hearing good things about
like,
this Fleabag. Have
this
you guys
Fleabag.
Seen this? Should we check it out?
Which at this point, I think like, it's Fleabag came out like fucking what, 5 years ago? Like, this is so past the prime.
Right.
And then there's this sex scene and he truly is like, stop everything. Like, pause. We either all have to decide we're turning this off, or we're all just gonna sit silently and stare ahead and not look at each other.
He sounds like a youth pastor trying to navigate that moment. Like,
right?
Like, what's the quote in that one?
The group found itself in the midst of a hot and heavy sex scene a minute into the first episode of Fleabag. Pause! Exclamation point. So I put my hand up, recalls Zaslav. I go, whoa! So they stop it. And I said, okay. Here's the strategy. Bang. We either shut it off or we put it back on and everybody only looks forward.
We don't look at each other until it's over. It sounds like he was telling them not to look at him so he could jerk off.
Jerk off. Yeah. Right?
He wanted to jack off.
It sounds like he's like everyone.
Nobody looks at each other.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to cross my legs.
When you hear
bit.
Something weird over here, you don't look over
look
at
away.
Me. You definitely don't make eye contact, which I've said about this whole trip. Eye contact.
No eye contact. Don't look at me.
Especially not when I'm jacking off to this scene that we're all
we made a fucking vow, Kevin. Eyes ahead, you fucking loser. Come on, man. We made a fucking vow.
So weird. We
stick
don't
to the strategy.
Look at each other.
We don't look at each other during which also the Fleabag sex scenes like aren't sexy.
No.
They're all awkward.
Uncomfortable, which I get that. That's the thing you could comment on after, be like, man, that was awkward to be watching that with you, my workmates.
But instead he's like, we're all going to jack off to this, right? Don't look at each other. Right?
Don't look at me.
So is that, because strategy is the operative word here. I'm like, what are they, what is the shared aim they are trying to achieve with said strategy?
Just the CEO brain of thinking you have to say, okay, here's the strategy.
Here's the strategy.
During a sex scene.
In his mind, he's like, David, you're getting a boner. You're getting a boner. Whoa, 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 whoa. Tell him to shut it off. Tell him, whoa, pause, guys. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Here we go. Okay, here's the strategy. What?
What the fuck are you talking about?
What are you talking about, fool?
And I just need to know what it is like watching so many shows with him. Like, how is he getting through Euphoria? Let me watch an episode of Euphoria with David Zaslav.
What's that strategy?
What is the strategy, buddy?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's terrifying. And again, it's so terrifying to think that these are the kinds of people that are at the helm of these massive networks that make the decisions that come down what kind of creativity we see like manifest on the screen. Some guy who is so like sexually repressed or whatever the fuck's going on here that he has to go, whoa, pause. Everyone look ahead. No, 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 no. Oh my God. What did I get into with this HBO crap?
Like, right. Like what did you think you were buying? But even with that, it's like you have Discovery Plus, which is like, you know, a lot of your shows are like 90 Day Fiance, You, Me and My Ex, the Darcy, too. Darcy and Stacy, where they're just like half naked all the time.
Yeah. Like, especially now, like where they're like leaning into showing more like intimate scenes and it gets like way more salacious to the point. I've been more uncomfortable with certain depictions of like sexual encounters with like cast members on 90 Day Fiancé than I ever have been with anything like normal, like scripted
than Fleabag or anything. Like 90 Day the Single Life, when they had Deb and that old guy just like straight up like groping each other and like making out on screen. Oh, come on. Like, that's come on. Pause.
Strategy. Okay, here's the strategy. We need to strategize. I'm gonna hit myself in the head with a hammer. And don't call an ambulance for at least 15 minutes.
Yeah, but that's just mainstream America. That's just
he's a regular guy.
Regular guy.
Yeah, the regular guy
says me, Nancy, $100,000 ice cream freezer, Pelosi.
Pelosi.
Yeah. You gotta have a second freezer for your ice cream, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's got to be that drawer kind. You're not gonna open it like a French
door. Like a
door.
That's stupid. You want the hidden slide drawer. Out. You want to see all those Jenny flavors that are $14 a pint or whatever.
Yeah,
and yeah,
it's all good. All good. He's normal. He's normal.
He's normal, folks.
He's normal. He eats Breyers ice cream.
Yeah,
he's normal. Okay,
normal.
Be interesting to see if he like doubles down. Now, if he's like, my guess, CEO, my mentality is like, this is his villain origin story. And he starts like joining.
That was the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah. He starts like joining the Elon Musk chats that he's been inviting him to. Where
he already
it's open
is,
white
you
supremacy.
Don't think he's been talking already?
Absolutely.
Yeah. If he's not already.
But again, it's not just even this. Like, look at where, because he's also in charge of CNN. And like, look at what happened with that Trump town hall and like how much they're trying to court Donald Trump back onto CNN for their just for ratings.
Ratings, like, baby. We made the news. And that is our job as people who cover the news.
I heard the quote.
Make the news.
The quote, Discord makes my dick hoard, is actually a David Zaslav quote.
It's actually David
not
Zaslav.
Roman Roy, but yeah.
Not Roman, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey,
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it pop biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back.
We're back.
And so Adidas has revealed their strategy for selling off the... All right, here's the strategy.
Strategy.
All right, so I paused Kanye West, the Kanye...
Anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Paused the Kanye interview. I said, all right, here's the strategy, folks.
We either pretend it didn't happen or we watch it and feign ignorance after the fact.
What is it? Went with both.
Right.
Yeah,
they went so, with both. Yeah, after belatedly cutting ties with Kanye, Adidas is stuck with a ton of Yeezy merch, and we're worried that they'd lose a lot of money if they couldn't find a way to repurpose all the tainted products, and their solution seems to be just like to sell the leftover Yeezy sneakers, which apparently they're valuing at $1 billion. We'll see what the market says about that. I don't think anybody wants to be wearing Yeezys.
I've been on the Yeezy subreddit, where fans of the shoes like all congregate, and they, it's like manna from heaven time for these people.
Oh, they're still? Like,
oh yeah. Well, cause I mean,
they're like, just you, good shoes.
I'm telling you, if you were fucking not rocking true. Yeezys, you never gave a fuck to begin
yeah,
with.
You didn't, you
were
care.
So, like, you were so mesmerized by his celebrity.
Kanye, yeah. You're not letting go of that. No, and also, no. I mean, I think every Yeezy thing I've seen is ugly as hell. So if yeah. you're wearing that, like, you're just into him.
Yeah. Right. It's a good way to like out yourself as someone with yeah. like not yeah, great sense, style sense, or can't read like the tone of society at the moment. They're like, you are wearing Air Himmlers. but okay, do that. But yeah.
Yeah. So they're valuing it at worth $1 billion. Proceeds will be donated to various anti-racism groups, including the Anti-Defamation League.
Good, good.
Yeah. So it's...
That's going to make Kanye angry, you know? Where they're going to give a solid, what, 5% probably?
Oh, yeah. That's the yeah. thing. Not all the money's going. They're
not all of it.
A portion of...
I've seen portion. I've seen the word chunk. I love when
a significant amount will be donated.
Okay.
Is the direct quote.
How about you assign a dollar amount to that word?
Because
it's a little nebulous, family.
Which amount are we talking here?
Let's talk a percentage of sales instead of a chunk, a set. What are we doing here, Adidas?
Yeah, right, exactly. And they're like, well, actually, after costs and things, they're like, wait, hold on now. What?
how much money are you giving? That's the thing I'm really curious by, because if they're part of their calculus is we're about to take a L, we're about to have to eat $1 billion worth of product that we can't sell. Some of that has to be like, how much can we make to be okay with it? Not, well, the best version is just to give this away. And then, you know, this is how we make amends for basically looking like we stand by this bullshit.
But, yeah, because they're still basically making money off of these products designed by an anti-Semitic person who probably will still get some money out of this. Like, I don't see a way where they sell all this stuff at a discount and Kanye's not getting like some kind of percent of that.
Right.
Like,
Yeah.
I wonder if like a lot of the negotiations, like the reason it took so long for them to come up with this, here's the strategy, was because they were trying to get him to sign off on like a strategy like this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we have to make it look like we are not racist, man.
Like come on. How's the stock price doing? And at the same time, they cut their deal with Beyonce and Ivy Park. So they just, maybe they hate black people. And when are they going to discount all the Ivy Park? That's the sale I'm waiting for.
Did they really? I mean, the last thing I heard about Ivy Park was that it was like dropping and everybody was like clamoring.
Oh, no. Like there was a big Wall Street Journal article that was like, Ivy Park does not sell. Adidas has lost like billions of dollars on this deal with Beyonce because like none of the like collections she put out ever recouped the money they spent to like do it and promote it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And people were just like, there was no clear idea of like what these clothes were even for.
Right, people were just like,
when do you see people out wearing Ivy Park? It's like gym wear and it doesn't make sense. There were a lot of drops happening that I had like very similar clothing, but it would just be different patterns. I know because I would buy all of them.
Right.
And I would just be like, oh, cool. These are the same pants. It's just instead of like pink, you know, Ivy Park logos, they're orange Ivy Park logos. Okay, Beyonce, sure. Yeah. Here's my $80.
Right.
And they ended the deal. They were just like, we're done. And everyone is just like, well, when is that going to go on discount? When are we seeing Ivy Park?
We're actually going to burn the product.
Yeah.
Like,
and now she has like a designer deal that I'm like, I'll never be able to afford that. But like, where is my Ivy Park in the Adidas like outlet mall?
Exactly. Coming to a Ross near you.
Yeah.
There. Oh, I have that cow print skirt too. Yeah.
Becca's in the chat.
Yeah, but I love that. That was my favorite collection. She did a whole like denim cowboy cow print collection. That was like the peak. I think that's maybe the only one that like legit sold out and had good sales. And then after that, it was just downhill and people like, where do I wear denim chaps, Beyonce?
Right. And like, that's also not what I look for from Adidas necessarily, right?
Yeah.
Is like denim.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the other thing, too, is like, I mean, look, she's a capitalist. Her and Jay-Z have said as much. They know they're there to secure baggage, like. Shout out to them for buying a $200 million house in Malibu, cash money over the weekend.
Wow.
Only lines they cross is dollar signs and also picket lines.
Yeah,
also
picket lines
actually.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do a party at Chateau Marmont.
Yeah, no problem.
Wasn't that him?
That was Jay-Z. And then in like 2007, it came out that they were like, the Grammys were happening during the last writer's strike. And they were like, hey, musicians, you shouldn't perform. Like, the Grammys aren't going to get a waiver to do it. And Beyonce was like, I just straight up came out and was like, I don't care about the strike. I will perform at the Grammys no matter what.
I'm Beyonce. I'm an unstoppable force.
It was just
strike.
Like, Beyonce, you did not have to say this.
Like, it's okay.
Hey,
it's okay.
FYI.
Yeah, just FYI. And like, the strike ended the week before the Grammy, so it was fine. But I just love that she was like, just FYI, I don't care.
Yeah.
Hey, just in case it was unclear to anyone.
Oh, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, but I will bring a picket line.
But who
will
check me? Nobody.
And I mean, Disney is streaming, is purging a bunch of streaming content. And I feel like we would be remiss if we did not use this opportunity, Ashley Ray, to ask you. Yeah. Like, what? So
what
we're
we
losing
missing?
Willow. We're losing Why the Last Man. We're losing the Turner and Hooch reboot. Ask Jeff Goldblum or something with like
The World According to Jeff Goldblum, which came out at a weird time because it was also when there were like kind of some cancel him things coming out with like young women being like, he's kind of weird. And so that show didn't get a lot of promotion. But I think what a lot of people are missing is that there are a lot of Hulu shows that are being purged in this Disney Hulu blend, because that's basically what's happening is they're going to combine Disney Plus and Hulu into one app. And then Disney said, well, Hulu, you have to get rid of your like dirty stuff that isn't Disney aligned. So they got rid of The Premise, which is a really funny show that BJ Novak did that looks at like gun control. There's like the best episode is about this guy who designs the world's best like anal dildo. And obviously Disney was like, no, thank you. But if you get the chance to see it before it's taken off forever on like May 26th or the 24th, go watch all The Premise. They also took off Maggie, which was like a sweet little rom-com, you know, modern day girl dating. Same with Everything's Trash, which was Phoebe Robinson and was basically about like a trashy, dirty, slutty black girl. We don't get that kind of representation. Right. So it felt really cool. And I think they also took off. Oh, what was it? It was The Premise, Maggie. Oh, and Dollface, which that one was shocking because Hulu fought to keep Dollface, canceled High Fidelity, which people, that was like the TV version of the movie.
Right.
Had so many Zoe Kravitz in it. Everyone was like, this is going to be a hit, but it was so expensive. They were like, we don't want that. We're going to focus our money on Dollface. They made two more seasons. It had like Kat Dennings. It was pretty funny. And now they're just like, screw that. Take it all off the internet. No one can ever see it again. So, yeah.
And we're out. It reminds me of the latest season of Barry where they like debut that series on like some streaming platform. And it's like number one for a night. And then the next day they cancel it
because they cancel it's like not like
performing
algorithm.
With the right algo. Yeah.
With the right algo.
Yeah.
And it is a lot of this is like, shows they didn't promote, like, I know people didn't hear about Maggie. And so it's like you could still promote these things and have people watch them and have them become cult hits. But then guess what? They get popular and you're paying residuals to people because people are watching these shows and that's not what they want. So,
right. Yeah.
Oof. It just, yeah. And it sucks. I have so many friends who have written on these shows and then also wrote on like the HBO shows that are coming down. And now I have multiple friends who are like, the last three shows I've worked on, you can't watch anywhere.
Like they don't exist. Right.
They That's don't what's... exist. Like you, they're not on illegal streaming sites usually unless they kind of were big enough. I think Dollface, because it had multiple seasons, you could probably watch on an illegal site. But like The Premise, nobody paid attention to that show when it came out. Like nobody right. knew BJ Novak did a whole show.
Like I felt like I only knew about it because you were tweeting about it initially.
Yeah, I was like, the only person tweeting and talking about it. And it's really good. It has Tracee Ellis Ross, Io Edebiri, like so many good people in it. And I thought for sure, like, oh, the FX, BJ Novak's, it's going to ride that wave of like The Bear and all of this.
Right.
And instead, it's, you know, them just kind of taking away shows that also make the history and culture of these dating apps and or of dating apps, of these streaming apps and of what people are interested in unclear. When you just take these shows off, you don't see like, oh, there was a resurgence of like female-led rom-coms during this time where we got Dollface, High Fidelity, Everything's Trash. And instead it's just, oh, it never happened.
Yeah,
and in the future
right.
when it's like, oh, why aren't there these like female-led comedies? Why is everything so male-focused? And it's like, oh, because they erased it.
Right. They're going to be like, did nothing get made between 2020 and 2023? Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like actually everything got made between those years.
Everything got made and just was erased. And obviously a lot of the shows that are getting cut are shows that feature a lot of diversity that come from people of color.
Yeah.
A lot of the HBO Max shows that got cut had to do with, you know, Gordita Chronicles, Latina showrunners. And I think with Disney, the biggest thing that shocked people was that they wanted to remove their documentary Harold. Which is about the guy who basically created The Little Mermaid and made Disney like this huge animated movie, like hit destination studio.
Yeah.
And he was gay. And then Disney was like, with The Little Mermaid reboot coming out, was like, take it off. We don't
the
want
new
it.
Little Mermaid reboot is dedicated to the memory of Howard Ashman.
And then the
documentary Howard is being taken off. They reversed course because they recognized this as a bad look.
Yeah. So many people were like, do you really want to get rid of the one documentary about a gay guy right before Pride Month and also when you just put a movie out dedicated to him?
Right, yeah. Right.
Dedicated to his memory, which trying to erase.
Which we would like to erase because
to the memory of him. Yeah. That's all.
Just to the memory, yes. But not to anything that could hurt our stock price if, you know, some conservatives see gay in our content. Yes.
Right, exactly.
Of course.
They're like, I told you, they're Anyway, but yeah, good luck to them as their ongoing fight against Ron DeSantis. Like, we're like,
oh, Jesus Christ,
battle where everyone loses. But hey, we'll see where that ends up too.
Ashley, such a pleasure having you back on the show. Where can people find you and follow you?
Follow me at The Ashley Ray on all the platforms, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, whatever. And if you're in New York, June 6th, I'll be recording my debut album at Union Hall.
Okay.
Yeah, Ice Cream Money. Yeah. Get your tickets. They're on sale. And yeah.
That'll be good shows. I can't pull up.
Pull up.
We'll catch Ashley there.
It's going to be a good time.
You have an outfit for this stand-up special?
I think I'm going to go full Ivy Park. Full Ivy Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Let them know ahead of time.
Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh, I got to give it to the Randall Scandal documentary that just came out on Hulu today. It is about Randall from the Vanderpump Rules universe. I know everyone is talking about the Scandoval issue and that whole affair, but the Randall scandal is about Lala's husband who like cheated on her, was super abusive to all of his assistants. And then it comes out that he like stole money from 50 Cent and was part of the whole like elder abuse against Bruce Willis and also is involved in Vanderpump Rules. And I had no idea about any of this and it very good. Makes the Vanderpump Rules watching experience even better.
The Randall scandal. Wow.
Oh, yeah. The Randall scandal.
Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
It sounds like a new influencer or kind of like Joanne the Scammer. Kind of just like, yo, there's Randall scandal. That accounts lit.
Randall scandal.
Find me at Miles of Gray, wherever they got at symbols. Find Jack and I on our podcast. Not sad boosties, but Miles and Jack got mad boosties. It's still mad boosties. It's not sad boosties. Because, look.
Contemplative boosties.
Contemplative boosties, 100%. Because, yeah, the Celtics are also in a way as well. Mm. So I can go to sleep with that on my mind. Also, Sophia Alexandra on 420 Day Fiancé. Right now we're talking about Love is Blind because I'm catching up since the baby. I've been so behind, but I got to I'm getting it all in. I want to be able to talk.
Get your priorities straight.
Got to be able to participate in the discourse because that's something else.
I'm sorry. Can I also say, and if you want more TV talk from me, please listen to TV I Say on Earwolf, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yes, exactly. The most important place. I always forget
that they pay me to say that to people.
Look, we smoke weed. It's easy to not get caught in self-promotion. And I'm like, right.
I talk
time.
About TV like every week, TV I Say.
Oh, yeah. That's what I do. Oh, right. That part.
Right. Sure.
That's what I do. And then let's see. Do I like a work of media? I don't think so. What did I see? I saw something recently. Nah.
Miles saw all your tweets and found them lacking.
Yeah. Was not entertained even a little bit by his timeline.
Yeah, what can I say?
At Extra Napkins tweeted a picture of a big, like, family-sized M&M's package, and it says it's just, like, on the side. It has the blue M&M with sunglasses on it with, like, sticking his finger up in the air, like, he's vibing out or something. And it says, electronic music brings the energy for a summer full of fun. And Extra Napkins tweeted, why is Eminem saying this to me? that was for 30 years. That was the entire marketing strategy of Pepsi, was just to be like, we all like music, right? Music's fucking cool. Anyways, drink Pepsi.
Drink Pepsi.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
Hey, are you talking to me right now?
To me? People who make music drink Pepsi. You should drink Pepsi. Yeah,
but I think they gave up on that strategy because they no longer had the Super Bowl shows this year. So I'm wondering.
Oh yeah.
Maybe M&M's is trying to step in and be like, we like to dance, right? And when you think of dance music, think of M&M's.
Think of M&M's.
When you're turning up on Molly, think of M&M's.
Yeah, they are like little...
Nothing better in your mouth than dehydrating M&M's.
Yeah. Oh my God, the best. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website. DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link all up to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what's the song you think people might enjoy?
Well, we were just talking about the demise of Ivy Park, so allow me to resurrect Beyonce one more time, because over the weekend she dropped a track with Kendrick Lamar, and his verse is wild on it. It's called America Has a Problem.
Yes. Uh-oh.
But you already knew that. The remix with
Kendrick.
Kung Fu Kenny. Damn. So yeah, check this one out. It's fun. Like, it's like the second time he had a track on Lemonade.
Yeah. He was on Lemonade.
Yeah. So hey, great collaborators. Just letting you know, they're still
new
here.
Kung
despite
Fu
the
Kenny.
Ivy Park not being on the show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox